Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Luke 4. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. "I will give you authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory," he said, "for it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." But Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered, "It also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues and was glorified by everyone. Then Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and when he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" Then he added, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I tell you truthfully that there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and great famine swept over all the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." On hearing this, all the people in the synagogue were enraged. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him over the cliff. But Jesus passed through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he began to teach the people. They were astonished at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out in a loud voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the demon. "Be silent," he said. "Come out of him." At this, the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without harming him. All the people were overcome with amazement and asked one another, "What is this message? With authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the news about Jesus spread throughout the surrounding region. After Jesus had left the synagogue, he went to the home of Simon, whose mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. So they appealed to Jesus on her behalf, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to serve them. At sunset, all who were ill with various diseases were brought to Jesus, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Demons also came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked the demons and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place, and the crowds were looking for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But Jesus told them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, because that is why I was sent." And he continued to preach in the synagogues of Judea. This is God's word. Before Jesus began his public ministry in verse 14, it was appropriate for him to win a private victory. Specifically, in order to preach righteousness to others, Jesus, as a man, had to practice righteousness first himself. That was one reason for his temptation in the wilderness in verses 1 through 13. Although Jesus was fully human, his virgin conception kept him from receiving a fallen nature like the rest of us humans have. He did not have the inward pull towards sin that you and I have. Therefore, Satan had to get creative in tempting him. First, Satan tempted him with food when he had been fasting. We saw that in verses 2 and 3. There's nothing sinful about eating food. So the temptation focused on Jesus using his divine power to create food. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus used his divine power to create food when he fed the 5,000. So this first temptation is kind of hard to figure out. What exactly was the sin that Satan was trying to get Jesus to commit? The answer is revealed in Jesus' response to Satan in verse 4. Remember, Jesus said there, this is the NIV's translation, but verse 4 says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 there, and the context for that passage was how God provided manna for the people in the desert. In Deuteronomy 8:1, Moses instructed the people to be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. In other words, receiving God's promises was tied to obeying his commands. In Deuteronomy 8:2-3, Moses said, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands? He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This was all a reminder to Israel that the most important thing they needed to do was to obey God. If people obey God's word, they do so because they are trusting God, trusting him to keep his promises and to provide what they need. Moses was reminding the people in Deuteronomy 8:1-3 that God had provided for them in the desert, so they should obey his word and trust him to care and provide for them in the future. Now, back to Jesus, then, in Luke chapter 4. Luke 4:1 told us that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness when all this temptation began. So it was God's will, then, for Jesus to be out there. He was sent there by divine appointment, without any preparation. The desert is not a place where food grows naturally. So if Jesus were going to survive his time out there, God would have to provide for him, just as he did for his people Israel back in the Old Testament. So the devil's temptation then subtly suggests that God the Father and the Holy Spirit had abandoned Jesus. So Satan suggested Jesus should use his powers as the Son of God to provide for himself. Jesus' reply was that obedience is more necessary for human flourishing than food, and that if he obeyed and just waited, God would provide for him, again, just like he provided manna for Israel in the desert. The temptation to sin, then, was a temptation to operate outside of submission to God the Father, and to act independently out of Jesus' own will and outside of the Father's will. And this is what we do, really, every time we sin. When we sin, we believe the lie spoken by our sin nature, by the devil, or by the world around us. That lie is that obedience to God's ways and word is stupid because we can't trust God to keep his promises. So we need to seek our own gain, our own pleasure, our own solutions to the problems in our life, or whatever else. So where are you facing this kind of temptation today? Has God left you waiting somewhere, longing for something that you think he should have provided for you by now? Don't turn away from obedience for the false promise of sin. Just as Jesus resisted abusing his divine power by exercising it outside of God's will, so you and I must learn to live within God's moral will for our lives, ourselves, through obedience. And, like Jesus, we should wait for God to deliver and provide for us. So trust the Lord today in whatever it is you're tempted to seek apart from him. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day today.